primary ministry. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. What ministry? If you look in the preceding two verses, and then in one verse after, this is a personal Bible study, your personal walk with God. I got a green light. Sounding okay? Okay, so this is your personal walk with God. That's what every one of us have, that ministry. Then if you would, in chapter 5, verse 18, second, same letter, the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, that is what most everybody refers to when they talk about the ministry. The ministry of reconciliation, this is your outward ministry of helping others learn to walk with God. It's very simple. If you have a walk with God, your outward ministry is try to get others to walk with God. Try to get them to do the first ministry. Okay, and so that's really what the ministry is. In the Old Testament, you have Ezra and Nehemiah that give some spiritual application for the ministry. And, of course, the disciples debated about their greatness, and that is a common problem in the ministry. The flesh wants to be a big shot, but the Lord wants us to be servants. Okay, in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And Gentiles generally rule by lording it over, but Peter says we are to be an example. So I'm going to give you three basic attitudes of the ministry. These are attitudes that will eventually develop the right action, eventually. It may at that time, but the first attitude is this: sincere in your doctrine. Be sincere in your doctrine. Doctrine is the first reason why God gave us the Bible, 2 Corinthians 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine. Okay, be sincere in our doctrine. 2 Corinthians, look in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 12. It's called godly sincerity. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12, godly sincerity. But what is the standard policy in what is called the ministry? Chapter 2, verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. That verse changed in every new Bible. And so, within our hearts, it's a matter of sincerity. In doctrine. Titus 2, verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that's of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. That's when we get our doctrine sound. In Titus 2, 6, it says, exhort likewise young men to be sober-minded. And then it says, grave or gravity, sincerity. Okay, and in Ephesians 6, 24, love the Lord Jesus Christ with sincerity. So, the first basic attitude is we need to be sincere in our doctrine. Be sincere. How do we know if we're sincere? Two-step process is when we're willing to admit an error and acknowledge a truth. Two-step process. How do we know David was sincere in bringing the Ark of the Covenant back? Well, when a guy dies, they obviously did something wrong. And so he admitted his error, and then what did he do? He went to the Torah, and he figured out how to do it right. He acknowledged the truth, and then he did it right. Okay, so sincere in our doctrine. Obviously, when I say doctrine, learning to recognize the seven major covenants in the Bible and recognizing that a lot of preachers don't know these things, and so we just got to sincerely try to help them, okay, and be patient with them and try to encourage them. So sincerity, obviously, it's closely interwoven with honesty. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says that we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, nor walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. So a sincere person will be honest in their doctrine. Okay, so that's first and foremost. That helps us understand why we have two different answers for the same question from two different people. When the rich young ruler asked Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? And the Philippian jailer says, what must I do to be saved? And the one said, keep the commandments. And the other said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Both answers are right, but yet it was a different dispensation. If we don't get that, we'll never figure it out. Okay, so sincere in your doctrine. Okay, and then the second thought, again, these are attitudes, is in sincerity in our doctrine and then humility in our service. A humble mind in our service. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Paul said in Acts 20, verse 19, when he was given his farewell message to the church of Ephesus, he said, serving with all humility of mind. Okay, so that's humility of service. There is definitely a reward in serving Jesus Christ, even if people don't accept it. Now, in our humility of service, we recognize that we proclaim the light first, to let the light shine first, and then hopefully our good works verifies the light. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify our God in heaven. But first is letting our light shine, and then follow that with our good works. Now, again, this idea of humility of service, we need to recognize that people will react to us when we're trying to help them. And it's like an animal that's caught in a cage, or we would get a bird caught in our back porch, and the dumb bird didn't recognize I was trying to give him liberty, and he was flopping all around and probably trying to poo on me and everything, and I'm trying to get him out, and he's fighting me. But that's how people are. Okay, but a humble mind recognizes, okay, they don't quite figure that out, but I'm still going to try to help them. So we don't take it personally. Or the reaction when somebody, you try to wake somebody out of sleep, they're going to get mad at you. Of course, that's how it goes. And so humility of service, we just recognize that. We recognize that animals often don't understand that we're trying to help it, we're trying to free it from its problems, trying to heal it, trying to get better. And the animal don't recognize that. It reacts mean or reacts towards, and people are the same way. And so you may have the greatest of all motives to help somebody and they reject it, you still serve the Lord. You still serve the Lord. You got credit for something even though they didn't accept it. Okay, so that's the second one. The third one is meekness in proclamation. Meekness in attitude. Jesus said, come unto me, all you labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And then he said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. And then he said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Okay, meekness and proclamation. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12, it says there that seeing we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. When you go places and you're going to declare the word of God, and you definitely have shown that you've studied. You've shown it to me, you've shown it to others. You have grown in the Lord. And you know the book. If you don't know the answer, you know how to get the answer. But not too many out there that know that. And so we don't want to lord it over them. We just humbly try to show them, meekly explain to them the things of the Bible, help them to admire the Bible. And we do that because we have such hope. 2 Corinthians 3:12, we use great plainness of speech. And in chapter 11, even rude in speech, but not in knowledge. Okay, so we want our message to be imparted. We don't want to impress people with our message. We want them to walk out the door and say, I understood what you were saying. If they don't understand what we're saying when they walk out the door, we have wasted our time, because as soon as they're out the door, a bird's going to come in and take the seed right out of their heart. And so that's why we use great plainness of speech. My sister-in-law, Jan's sister, Emily, missionaries now in Delaware, I think, okay, working with the Spanish people, gave me, I feel, one of the greatest compliments. They're not in our camp. They're not Bible believers, per se. She is a very sweet, kind lady. But after she heard me preach one of two times, she said, it was nice to also see what the Bible said rather than just hear it. That told me that she saw in the Bible what I was telling. And that's what we want. Why? Because that makes it personal. And so privately and publicly, we are boldly declaring the words of God, but yet our attitude is a meekness in declaring the words of God. And then privately, we gently declare the truths to others. Privately and personally, 2 Timothy, it says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, apt to teach, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. So, yes, we're bold publicly. Yes, we're bold on the words of God. But when we deal with a person individually, then we are gentle with them and we're declaring the words of God meekly. Insecure men will gloat, try to portray an image of manhood or toughness which they don't have. Okay, but a secure leader will use the authority of the words of God and the knowledge that God's given you to help others. In James chapter 3, it says that the wisdom that comes from above is easy to be entreated. So a simple question is not a dumb question. Okay, obviously, unless it's coming from a smart aleck, then you recognize that. But these are three basic attitudes I believe that the Lord expects from us, and I believe that's what the Lord wants from us. Sincere in our doctrine, humble in our service, okay, and then meekly proclaiming the words of God. And I like to paraphrase a lot of times, talk with people, this is what I understand, this is what I've read. Instead of, I know this is right, no wrong. Okay, and that way, to me, it encourages them to do some more research, to study some more things. So those, to me, are three basic attitudes that the Lord might help you along the way. Okay, does anybody have a testimony that you'd like to give? Anybody as far as listening to them teach and watching their family through the years? Anybody? But Glenn.
Jeremy said this is going to be a roast Jeremy night, but it is and it isn't. I think the first time I met him and Stacy was, Steve brought him to a Rip Curry or something, and I thought, man, what a rough character. Who's this chick? But, you know, I tell you, every one of us in this room has come into this church in that state. I remember I came in here with my, well, maybe we should bring a Bible. I brought my little NIV.
Amen. Amen. Lisa?
Well, I remember years, I guess it's probably about 10 years now when we started here, and we had come from a Bible-believing church, but we didn't know much yet. We come here on Thursday nights, and Eric, you know, was home with kids and stuff, and the pastor would be preaching, and I'm like, talking about dimes and quarters and all this stuff. Almost after church, every time I'm like, Jeremy, what is he talking about? Here. And then Jerry explains to me, I go home, Derek, you won't believe what I heard from Pastor and Jeremy. And I grew so much in those years, and also Stacy, big help, especially with this one, Isabella, the throw-up queen of the nursery. She threw up on everybody, but she always took it so well. She never came and got me, let us go throw up all over her, complained. So I've learned some good things from both of them through the years, and I miss you guys.
Amen. Jesse?
I just appreciate them letting me go on all the trips to Colorado and Wyoming. It's always interesting. Oily adventures. I tried to hop the fence and I stepped in a big bucket of oil. He tended to do this.
Okay, anybody else? Eric?
I just thank the Lord both
Yep.
For all this Peter. Willing to be there. I needed somebody to talk to. You're on some. Just thank the Lord for both.
Amen. Neil? Amen. Jen?